Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy presence with us today already. And O God, now as we turn to the sacred page, we thank thee, Lord, for the scriptures of truth, which are able to make men wise unto salvation. Even this day, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts. O God, how we need thee. We freely confess that. We need thee, Lord, to come and minister unto our souls. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. And O God, as the body, the physical body needs food, the spiritual needs food as well. O God, feed these souls of ours this day, we pray thee. Come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you will meet each and every one of us at the very point of our need. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn again to that chapter that we read, Acts chapter 9. In our last four studies in the book of Acts, we have been considering different aspects from the life of Saul of Tarsus from Acts chapters 8 and 9. So far, we have considered Saul, the committed persecutor, Saul, the converted sinner, Saul, the crying saint, and then last Sunday night, we looked at Saul, the convicted servant. Today, I want to draw your attention to one final aspect in this chapter about Saul of Tarsus, and that is Saul, the Christian soldier. Today, in our studies, we're going to find out that Saul's life has turned full circle. Now, if you're familiar with this chapter, and I'm sure that most of you are, you will know that at the beginning of Acts chapter 9, Saul was the persecutor seeking to destroy the church of Christ. He was seeking to arrest the followers of Christ and imprison them. But now as we draw to the end of Acts chapter 9, we observe that Saul is the one who is now being persecuted because of his faith in Christ. Saul is now finding out what it really means to be a Christian soldier. He is now experiencing what life is really like in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said that we see Saul's life turning completely round. At the beginning, he was the persecutor. But now, because of his faith in the Lord Jesus, he is the one that is being persecuted. Therefore, as we come today to consider Saul as a Christian soldier, I want you to observe the persecution that Saul suffered when he became a Christian in Acts chapter 9. And I do pray that, again, the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, and especially those of us who are saved. But I pray that the Lord will have a message for us all. If you're in the meeting today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, my prayer is that the Lord will speak to your heart as well. Because as we have found out in this chapter, sinners need to be saved. And of course, Saul needed conversion. He needed the Lord in his life. And what a change came about, and we've already noticed this, what a change came about when Saul was saved. My friend, if you're not saved today, if you're not a Christian, my prayer is that you will come even this Lord's Day and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice a number of things here. First of all, I want you to consider the reality of Saul's persecution. Look what it says there in verse 23 and 24 of Acts chapter 9. We read these words, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." The reality of Saul's persecution can be seen in the extent and the efforts that the Jews went in order to persecute Saul. They were not just content to put Saul into prison or to even give him a verbal warning. Rather, the text of Scripture very simply and very clearly tells us here that they wanted to kill him.
And in order to carry out their wicked deed, the Jews put a watch on the gates of the city. It says here, day and night, to make sure that Saul would not escape. This was the beginning of Saul's Christian life of persecution. Because if you know anything about the life of Saul as it is revealed in the book of Acts, you will know that Saul's whole life from the day he was saved until the day he died was a life full of persecution. Indeed, the words of Christ to Ananias about Saul in Acts 9 verse 16 were truly fulfilled in the life of Saul when the Lord Jesus Christ said, look at the verse, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake." The Lord, of course, was simply indicating there that Saul was going to suffer because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're seeing the beginnings of those sufferings. And as we continue studying the book of Acts and looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, we're going to see that it was a life of suffering, a life of persecution. You know, child of God, the truth is that you and I who are saved will know some kind of persecution during our Christian lives. Now, we may not be put into prison, we may not be martyred for our faith, but we as Christian soldiers will know and experience persecution of some kind. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, we read these words. Here Paul was writing to young Timothy, and this is what he said, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And it was the Lord Jesus who said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." And of course, he spoke those words to his disciples before he went back home to heaven. Is it any wonder that Paul said to Timothy again in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, "Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, child of God, we must be prepared to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not an easy life. The enemy will attack at every hand. The world, the flesh, and the devil will never be too far away in their persecution of the soldiers of the cross. Maybe there's someone here today. You're saved, you love the Lord, and you're going through a time of trial, a time of persecution. Why? You should not be ashamed to suffer for Christ. And in these days especially, prior to the second coming of Christ, indeed the Bible tells us that prior to the second coming of Christ that God's people will be persecuted more and more. And we're going to see that in a moment. But we're all familiar with that text in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 and 9, where Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You see, Saul of Tarsus was beginning to find out here in Acts chapter 9 what it meant to be a Christian soldier in the early church. And he's just saved. He's just trusted the Lord as his own and personal redeemer. And persecution very quickly comes into his life. But I want you to notice something else, and I suppose really this goes without saying, but I want you to notice the reason for Saul's persecution. Why was he persecuted here? Well, there was only one reason why Saul was being persecuted, and that reason was simply because Saul was now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Saul had turned away from the dead religion of Judaism and embraced Christianity, the Jews that once were his friends, they had now turned against him, and now they were his enemies. There was no other reason why Saul was persecuted, but for this one reason, because he was now a Christian. He was persecuted because he had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Look at verse 22. Underline the words, verse 22 and 23. "But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Underline the words. The Jews took counsel to kill him. The Jews took counsel to kill Saul now because he had believed and proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the resurrected Savior. Now, of course, we're aware, because we have looked at the beginning of this chapter, that was the very reason why Saul was persecuting the church initially. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He certainly didn't believe that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And as far as he was concerned, this was a false religion. Until he met the resurrected Christ for himself. And we have already looked at his conversion and how the Lord met him by the way and saved his soul. And now that he has seen Christ for himself and knows the truth, he begins to declare and proclaim, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he has rose again from the dead, and he has ascended back up into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. And once Saul started to declare that message and to say that he was now a Christian, persecution came his way, and the council, the Jewish council, sought to kill him. You know, child of God, you and I will be persecuted because we are Bible-believing Christians. Because we are Bible-believing Protestants. And you know, as I said there, prior to the second coming of Christ, the persecution of the church will increase. Take a look, turn over, keep your hand in Acts chapter 9 and turn back to Matthew chapter 23 for a moment. And take a look there at a couple of verses in this chapter. It will emphasize this. Here we have the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 23, "Then shall they devour you up, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Look at verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be." Verse 22. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." There is no doubt that prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the persecution of the church will increase. I believe that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to emphasize here. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 18 and 19, he said this, "If the world hate you," speaking to the disciples, "ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And again, the Lord Jesus was pointing out there to his disciples that because they had turned to him and were saved, because they had trusted him and believed on him, they would be persecuted for that very reason. We can see here in Acts chapter 9 the reason, the simple reason why Saul of Tarsus was now being persecuted. It was because he had put his faith in Christ and he was declaring and proclaiming that Jesus Christ was indeed the Savior, the Son of God. Of course, the world will make every effort to silence our witness for Christ, and even the Lord Jesus Christ pointed this out to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, we read these words. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 10 for a moment and underline these words in your Bible. And you'll read there from verse 16 these tremendous words. The Lord says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. My friend, you can see here what it costs to be a Christian, what it costs to be a child of God. And there is no doubt, as I've said before, the Christian life is not an easy life, but it is the best life. It is the only life. Because if men and women want to get into heaven, if they want to escape hell, if they want to have any hope at all for eternity, then they must know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he did not mind the persecution because he knew that he was saved and on his way to heaven. And we're going to see that just in a moment. But you know, child of God, the truth is this. The devil will not give us an easy ride. The world will not give us an easy time. The flesh will not give us an easy journey to heaven. And that's why it is so important day by day in the Christian life to stay close to the Lord, to make sure that we read his word and feed upon his word day by day, to seek the face of the Lord in prayer and to commune with the Lord hour by hour. There's a day and age when God's people need to live close to the Lord day, and it is this day and age in which we live. And if there was a man in history that lived close to the Lord, it was Saul of Tarshish. From the day he was saved, although he was persecuted, persecuted because he was a Christian, persecuted because he was a child of God, and yet he could pass through all that persecution because he lived close to the Lord. And the truth is this, child of God, when persecution comes our way, when people laugh at us because we say we're Christians, my, when we turn to the Lord and seek strength from him, then the Lord gives us strength in the midst of our persecution. And of course, Saul of Tarshish, he gained strength. The Bible says here that he grew from strength to strength. But praise God, the Christian who passes through trials and is persecuted for the cause of Christ will have a reward. Just take a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, for a moment, very quickly. It's verses 22 and 23. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. This is what he says. Blessed are ye, speaking to his disciples, when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Isn't that a tremendous text of Scripture? When men shall hate us, when they shall reproach us, when they shall cast out our names as evil for the Son of Man's sake, what's the Lord say to us? He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. It was the Apostle Peter who said in 1 Peter 4 verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Oh, praise God, what an honor it is to be persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, child of God, you and I should never be ashamed of declaring that we are saved, declaring that we are Christians, declaring that we are born again of the Spirit of God. Praise God, we have our and will have our reward in heaven. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. And praise God, in these days, I pray that each of us who bear the name of Christ and who profess to be saved by the grace of God, that we'll not be ashamed of him. Whether at work or in our homes or around our neighbors or wherever we are day by day, Don't let the devil cow you. Don't let the world cow you. Don't let the evil in this world put your back against the wall, because we are the ones who are privileged. Never forget that, child of God. The Lord has privileged us to bear his name. The Lord has privileged us to be soldiers of the cross. And praise God, we should not be ashamed of him, because he was not ashamed of us. Oh, you can see here the reality of Saul's persecution, the extent that the Jews went to persecute him. They sought to kill him. And you can see the reason, the simple reason for that persecution. There was no other reason apart from the fact that Paul said he was now a Christian and that he was a believer in the resurrected Christ. But take a look at, thirdly, the results of Saul's persecution. The results of Saul's persecution was at least threefold. I want you to take a look from verse 25 and on. And you'll notice, first of all, that it resulted with Saul being brought into closer fellowship with God's people. Look what it says in verse 25 and on. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. When they heard that the Jews were going to kill Saul, they took him and led him down in a basket, down the wall, and they saved his life. But look what it says in verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he is said to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Oh, thank God, when persecution comes our way, we have the company and fellowship of God's people to encourage ourselves in. When this persecution came into Saul's life, he found solace among God's people. You know, there's no company like the company of God's people. And that's why it is so important, child of God, for you and I to get into the company of God's people at every opportunity. Isn't it great that we can meet here on the Lord's Day together as a company of God's people? We can come to the prayer meeting on a Tuesday night and meet as a company to encourage ourselves in the Lord, to pray for one another. Many a time we've come to the prayer meeting downcast. Maybe we have gone through a trial. Maybe we have gone through a time of persecution. Maybe someone has been cruel to us and mocked us because we have been a Christian and taken our stand for him, whether at school, at work, or at university. And yet, when we've come into the company of God's people, how that has encouraged us and strengthened us in our faith. And that's why, child of God, it is so important for you and I to use the means of grace that God has given to us to grow in our Christian life. To grow in our Christian life. And here we have Paul, and they're seeking to kill him. And they have set a watch at the gate day and night to kill him. And you can see how God's people here are gathering around God's child now and encouraging him. And although the Jews at Jerusalem were apprehensive about this man, some of them didn't believe that he had changed, Barnabas steps in. Indeed, that's the second thing I want you to notice here. It resulted with Saul being introduced to Barnabas. Look what it says in verse 9. But Barnabas took him. In chapter 11, verse 25, if you want to write these words, it says this: Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And verse 30 says, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. In chapter 13, verse 2, it says, And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I read those verses out to make this point. What a wonderful relationship came about as a direct result of this persecution between Barnabas and Saul. Saul was introduced to Barnabas, and they both eventually became missionaries and saw many saved by the grace of God. And we're going to say more about that as these studies continue. What a friendship. What a friendship there was between Paul and Barnabas. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful privilege it is to have friends of those, to be friends with those who are of like precious faith. And here, even in the midst of this persecution, we can see that the Lord brought godly men to Saul who encouraged him in the work of God and in the service of Christ. And you notice something else. It resulted with Saul being prepared for the hardship he had to face in the future, this persecution in Acts chapter 9. Saul, in all his persecution, he proved the faithfulness of God. He learned to lean on the Lord and to depend upon the Lord more. Therefore, Saul's persecution drew him closer to the Lord. I want you to turn over to Philippians for a moment, Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to see what Saul said, or what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said as he wrote this letter. He said in verses 11 and 13, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Now this is what Paul says about himself, "For I have learnt in whatsoever state I am." And he was thinking there of his persecution. He was thinking there about the times when he suffered for Christ. "I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Verse 13, "I can do," Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Oh, child of God, it resulted with Saul being prepared for the hardship he would face in the future. We have already stated that Saul, the Apostle Paul, during his life of ministry and during his life of service for Christ, he was going to be persecuted many more times because he was a Christian, because he was saved by the grace of God. But as these persecutions came and went, Paul got stronger in the faith. They strengthened his faith. And child of God, there are things that we cannot learn, but only in the midst. We can only learn in the midst of persecution and trial. Now I know that the last thing we want is trial and persecution. None of us want it. But the truth is, there are things that we can only learn when trials and persecution comes our way. And we're all familiar with that text of Scripture in 1 Peter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, here's Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes these words to God's people, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The truth is, trials strengthen our faith. And trials prove our faith. That lovely hymn, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." Isn't it true that in this world we shall have tribulation? But thank God, those tribulations and those persecutions and those trials that the Lord permits us to go through will strengthen us if we look to the Lord and turn to him in the midst of our trial. Maybe there's someone here today, a child of God going through a trial. Maybe no one else knows about it, but you know about it. You're saved. You love the Lord. You're redeemed. Maybe you're beginning to question, why, Lord? My friend, we have all been there. In the midst of the darkest hour, We have lifted up our eyes to heaven and said, why, Lord? My friend, the truth is that what the Lord does now, we may not fully understand, but we'll understand it in the sweet by and by. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thou shalt know hereafter. But praise God, I would exhort you today, even from this portion of Scripture and from what we have been saying, if you're passing through that dark valley, continue to trust in the Lord and continue to lean upon Him, because He has promised to give you help and to give you grace in your time of need. He has promised to do that. And I know that many of you have proven the grace of God in the midst of the severest trials. Haven't you proven the Lord? Oh, child of God, thank God today. The Lord has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And certainly He did not leave Saul of Tarsus here. There was a way of deliverance, and we can see how the Lord delivered him. But we can see the reasons. Some of the reasons. And some of the benefits of the persecution. How he was accepted, eventually accepted by the people of God, even those in Jerusalem. Eventually accepted him as a true child of God. And that must have been difficult, because before he went to Damascus, he persecuted the church in Jerusalem. We've already seen that. And the saints were scattered abroad everywhere. What great persecution Saul was involved with. Yet here now the Lord has changed him. And now he's the one being persecuted. But the Lord's with him. My friend, let me ask you this question before we close. We're all gathered in God's house today in the presence of the Lord. Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you a follower of the Lamb? Do you know anything about being persecuted for the gospel's sake? Do you know anything of bearing reproach for the name of Christ? You know, as we take our stand for the Lord in this wicked, evil day, and we're living in a wicked, evil day in this 21st century, and the signs are pointing to the second coming of Christ, there's no doubt about that. Things will wax worse and worse for the child of God and for the church of Christ. And I wonder, are you living as a Christian? Are you living as a child of God? Oh, I pray today that if you're not saved, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, that even this Lord's Day, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. That you today will begin living as a Christian soldier. My friend, if you're a Christian soldier, then you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you willing to take your stand for the Lord and to live for Him and to let others know that you're living for Him and that you're saved? There's no doubt that Saul of Tarsus, the moment he became a Christian, he declared, I belong to Christ. He nailed his colors to the mast. He was not ashamed. And there's no reason why Christians in this 21st century should be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has died for us. He has risen again. He has redeemed us by His precious blood. And someday He's coming again in all His glory to bring us home to heaven. Saul, the Christian soldier, may God help us all in these days to bear the name of Christ and not to be ashamed of it. Let us all pray.